are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
We've been together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Well, we made it Friday. That's the good news. But the bad news? Yeah, you know. Powerball fever has broken. How'd you do? I had one number. You get no meatball with one number. And it's over. The bromance between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. They were sparring over New York values. And, oh, I love this. Delicious cloud hanging over Ted Cruz on the birther question. Did you watch the debate last night? I have to admit, I weaved in and out a little bit. It was kind of entertaining. I saw the highlights today. We'll talk about that. And there's a movie out. You know I've been talking about this for the last few weeks and sending out the trailer and the site for the entire film to so many folks called Trump, What's the Deal? It was made over 25 years ago now, right, 1991. Got quashed by Donald Trump and his minions because back in those days they didn't have the internet, so it wasn't an even playing field. You had to have a movie theater or a television station willing to play it, and they didn't. And you got to see this film. Because one of their taglines is the old Trump, the new Trump, they're the same Trump. You know, it's like we say in fiction writing and in counseling, past is prologue. You want to see somebody's future, look at his or her past, look at the character, and his character is certainly fixed as a 12-year-old bully embodying a nearly 70-year-old man. The same story. You see the evolution of his thin-skinned bombacity, his chicanery, the bullying tactics. It's all there. Just the hair was a bit better. It's not as crazy and yellow in the old days. But we'll talk with one of the producers, Libby Handrews, in a moment. And I was kind of skeptical on the value of this film, but I'm changing my mind, and I'll tell you why. We'll also talk Oscar nominations, inspiration to action, shout-outs, and some great fun Friday music to round out the whole thing, including Your Forgotten 45. Are you listening live? It is Friday, January 15th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 Central, noon here in the East, number in motion 347-857-4505. We're doing the 24/7 Twitter tango at AB Wright, so whether you're listening live or on podcast, feel free to chime in. And the Facebook page is open today for the more loquacious among us. The show today brought to you in part by Audiophile, from music to books to podcast. Caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. So let's bring Libby Handrews in. Libby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Can't complain.
Okay, good. Congrats on the film. We'll talk a little bit about its genesis. I want to say I was skeptical about the power of this film at first, not because it's not great. It is. It's fascinating. You have a lot of interesting background information on Donald Trump, some things that those of us in New York knew about, and maybe some of us were too young to remember some of it, but it's fascinating. But I was thinking, you know, it doesn't matter, because whatever Trump says, whatever he does, whatever is thrown at him, he seems to get more support from his steadfast group of folks who follow him around. But I have to tell you, I've been sending out the trailer and the site for the entire film, which people can watch online, which is great, to a bunch of people. And we have some Trumpians who walk amongst us, even on the show, and people I talk with off air, who are, you know, and some people on the fence. And I talked to a few friends, a few people who say, well, yeah, I think he's a little crazy. I get what you're saying. But, you know, maybe, just maybe, because he's not beholden to anyone and he speaks his mind, he can just stop everything, freeze everything, and start over, which is a crazy idea. But a couple of those people have come back after watching just the trailer of the film and say, you know what, you're right. There's something startling about the information you have. So kudos to you guys for resubmitting this film into the world. Tell us a bit about how this started and how it got quashed and what made you decide to resurrect it.
So when we started to work on the film, it was supposed to be a pilot for a series of films, syndicated films, about celebrity businessmen. It was the late 80s, and it was the time when the celebrity businessman was becoming a thing. And so there was Trump, and there was Icahn, and Barry Diller, and people like that. And Donald, you know, was the first one we did, and the only one we did, because it, you know, didn't develop into a series. But that's how it, you know, came to light. And as we were getting ready to finish the film, we had a select reel trailer around, and it became very apparent that distributors, agents, et cetera, didn't want to touch the film. People who had been interested in it originally were suddenly passing on it, and our distributor couldn't get anybody to pay attention and called up one day and said, you know, there's something fishy going on. And the more we delved into it, the more we realized that, you know, there was no broadcast network that was going to touch it because, as we found out doing the film, you know, Donald, one of Donald's modus operandi is to threaten to sue anybody who does something he doesn't like. And even if lawsuits have no merit, you have to answer them, and that costs money. There's, you know, that ties people up. It costs time. It costs money. And so no network was going to touch it with a 10-foot pole or no independent station, and there was no internet back then. So I held on to the film. My business partner, boss at the time, subsequently passed away. I inherited everything that was part of the company, including this film, and I held on to it, always thinking, well, you know, maybe someday when Donald dies, it'll be a great obit piece, you know, or something like that. And 4 years ago, I mean, he's always made noise about running for president. But four
I know,
years ago,
right, he's threatened.
4 years ago, when it looked like he might really do it, we dusted off the film, we took a look at it, we digitized it, because of course it was made before the digital era. We digitized it, and we're ready to do something with it, and then he disappeared. So this time around, we were, you know, really ready to go and go quickly, because we really didn't think he'd still be around now. And so...
he's around, he's got longevity, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. You know, as we were getting ready to put it out there and like getting everything in order, you know, he made the comments about John McCain, and we thought, okay, here he goes. That'll be it. He'll be over. But no, you know, there he was. And so we put it out there, and it's been fascinating. It really has been. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, oh, 25 years old, how can it make a difference? But they watch, and they're like, oh, my God. You know, it's not a question so much of, you know, if you're a conservative and you believe in the things that Donald is saying, one has to wonder, is he presidential timber? Is he the right person to be doing this? Is a man who doesn't believe in free speech, you know, somebody you want as president?
Yeah, it's crazy. You're right. Exactly. That's the point. His demeanor is the question. And a lot of people will say, and I tend to be a liberal Democrat, people will say, but he's the best person to run against Hillary. And I'm not so sure that's true. But even if it is true, I think he is so detrimental with the things he's saying. They're so misogynistic, racist, dangerous. He's fomenting this fear and anger that I just think he needs to get off that stage. I think he's dangerous to the whole conversation. So you're right, in terms of his demeanor and can he be presidential is a big question, I think. And I have to say, when I was watching the State of the Union the other night, I was thinking, can you imagine Donald Trump delivering a State of the Union? It's a little far-fetched for me, although it may be a reality.
And listen, you know, the whole political discourse has been lowered since he came onto the scene. His use of language is often very crass and very crude. I mean, we don't need to always be at the lowest common denominator, I think. I think we can aspire to something better.
It's a heavy statement you just made, because it was pretty low before he got on the scene, so it's really low. Yeah,
but just look at the phraseology. Look at some of the words he uses. I mean, I don't expect that from my presidential candidates, where it has to be bleeped on morning television.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking. It really is. And this is a man who says he's the smartest man, the most educated man, all this kind of business. So that goes to show you something about what that's all about as well, I think.
Yeah, and you have to also wonder, you know, look, there's an, I think it's 1999 interview he did with Tim Russert on Meet the Press. He sounds like, you know, de Blasio, like a liberal Democrat. So one has to wonder, is he truly a conservative? You know, if you are somebody of the conservative persuasion, you have, and you're putting all your faith in him, you really have to wonder, is he truly a conservative, or is he just saying all these things because this is how he thinks he can get elected? Donald is a master at saying what he thinks he should say to market and to sell something. And right now he is selling himself.
Well, he's a huckster. He's a very talented huckster. I mean, isn't he? Wasn't one of his lines, I forget the exact line, but it's something that I engage in reasonable hyperbole. In other words, I tell people what they want to hear.
He calls it truthful hyperbole.
Truthful hyperbole. Yeah, that's even better. I mean, and this, of course, your film was made before Twitter, when he is taken to Twitter. And can you imagine the president also tweeting at every celebrity, every person who says anything bad about him? I mean, you know, it's so crazy, you think about it. But you do have hints in the film about what he was like, where they said he put on a good show in front of people, but at home. There was one guy, I forget who it was, who talked about at home. I think one of his co-authors. He would just go home and watch
Tony
TV.
Short.
And now he has Twitter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's what he does. You can see it. You know, he when he's asked where he gets his foreign policy from, he says, "Well, I watch all the shows," and he's sitting there at home with his Twitter. I mean, it is kind of it's just kind of amazing, and it makes an really amazing statement about where we are today. I mean, as I said, at the risk of repeating myself, if you are a conservative Republican, you know, there was a you know, quite a stable of people out there running for the Republican nomination to pick from who are, you know, respectable candidates with track records.
Well, they're still running, and they're all hoping. I guess they've been hoping since the summer when he announced, and his announcement with his attack on Mexicans was the first salvo, and then after John McCain, the New York Post had him dead to rights on the front page. And every time he said something even more outrageous, his support and his base seems to grow, or at least grow in fervor. And have you listened to some of the people they interviewed at these rallies? I mean, they don't seem to care if he's lying. Their attitude is, so what? Everybody lies. The media lies.
Well, that,
I don't know how you fight that.
But he's not, you know, but the problem is he's not going to do what he says he's going to do, because that's, you know, liars don't do what they say they're going to do. And liars, you know, tend to maybe he'll end up being, you know, pro-choice. If you're, you know, against abortion, you might wake up one morning to find out, oh, my God, I elected somebody who's really pro-choice. So it's
right.
You know,
Republicans, the mainstream Republicans, don't like him because they're afraid that he's not. Although it was very interesting the other day to hear somebody say that he comes off more authentic than Ted Cruz. And I'm not a Cruz supporter by any means, but I think Cruz is a true believer of the conservative stripe. I think Donald Trump, as you said, is a huckster. So who knows what he's going to do? It's a wild card, and I think it's a wild card, frankly, in the general election, because since we don't know what he really believes in, maybe he can convert some independents and Democrats, where I don't think Cruz could. So, I mean, that's something to think about if you're on a Democratic side, too. But
and I think the New York Times analyzed where a lot of Donald's support was coming from in an article about 2 weeks ago, and it is coming from a lot of Democrats. You know, it's a lot of working class Democrats. And look, his message is very appealing. Make America great again. Bring the jobs home. Of course, that's a very appealing, you know, message these days. But there's nothing solid to support it.
Well, he has
and
very emperor's new clothes.
And he look at, you know, the Wall Street Journal did a fascinating study of him about 10 days ago, and it started on the front page, and they talked about the fact that, you know, when somebody runs for office, we look at their track record. You know, if they were formerly a politician, we look at that. Well, Donald, the only thing he's got is his business track record. And they analyzed basically the years right leading up into his bankruptcy and then his bankruptcy and coming out of it. And he left everybody holding the bag. He took hundreds of millions of dollars in management fees for the various casinos in Atlantic City that were going under. And he left contractors and suppliers and everybody taking less on the dollar. And he, you know, walked away with these huge management fees. It's exactly the same thing he did, you know, on a smaller scale when he rebuilt Walman Rink, which is a story we tell in the film. You know, he said he'd do it, you know, for free on time and on budget. He got all the contractors to, you know, do it at cost. And then he walked away with a huge fee.
Crazy.
Is that how
it's
going to run
the
country?
People buy it. Yeah, no. Well, of course, and even the things that he has put out, with specifics like his tax plan, he talks a good one, but they've analyzed it, and it really is going to be the traditional Republican tax plan where the top people get a benefit and everybody else gets screwed. So, you know, people really have to be careful and look at specifics. I don't understand so many people who are lured in by, as you said, the message, his mumbacity. They like his style. I mean, this whole business about he's not politically correct. Well, okay, but, you know, what does that mean exactly? I understand people want to put a kibosh on political correctness, but it doesn't mean you can just spew anything you want. I mean, he's like a walking embodiment of a blog comment section, you know, or he's been called the National Republican Id. Just whatever you feel you can say. It's very disturbing, and disturbing how attractive it is to people who are immersed in this, you know, I say the reality TV trash culture, in which he was definitely part of with his very successful show, The Apprentice, for all those years.
It's entertainment. That's what it is. His show is an entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, the other day, wherever his latest speech was it South Carolina? I forget exactly, but there was a show with little dancing girls and, you know,
yes,
all sorts of stuff.
I don't know.
He's a show, and of course people want to see the show. Everybody, people went to see P.T. Barnum. People went to see Hitler.
Right.
People went to see, you know, he's a demagogue. Mm. I mean, he's the Father Coughlin of our era.
But that's why it's scary,
and
because the show part is funny up to a point and entertaining, but the fact that this guy could actually get into power is disturbing to me, and that personality that he has. It's disturbing because I think issues are very important, but demeanor is also important. And if, as you said, if you're a Republican and you want to go down that road, there are plenty of people to choose from. And I'd rather have a substantive conversation on the issues, have a closer race, or even if it would be, I don't know. Again, we don't know. But I just think to have this dangerous...
And look how distracting it becomes. So last night, what do we get involved in? We get involved in a stupid discussion between Trump and Cruz about whether or not Cruz is actually, you know, could legally become president of the United States due to where he's born. Well, what does that become? It becomes a distraction from the larger issues to talk about.
Of course. But it is, but you have to admit, it's a delicious problem for the Republicans to have after what they put President Obama through. But, of course,
Donald Trump doing it again.
He was doing it to Obama. He's doing it to Cruz now. It's very funny.
It is.
But
and
yes, of course,
I came
it's a distraction.
And before I came on the air with you, I was listening to NPR here in New York, Brian Lehrer, and WNYC, and he had on a guy talking about, you know, the border between the U.S. and Mexico and whether or not a wall would be viable. And the guy said, of course, a wall is a joke. You know, what walls have ever worked? The Chinese Great Wall, has that ever worked? Has the Maginot Line ever worked? Even it turns out the Berlin Wall didn't work. 1,000 people a year used to get through it. So, I mean, the whole thing on the face of it is just an absolute ridiculous joke. And people, I mean, people are buying this, which is really scary. And what's also scary is the major media is not reporting what they know. The New York Times has in its archives, I know they do, I've read the stories, all the stories about a lot of Donald's manipulations and dirty doings. And they choose not to republish those or go back and do an investigation on him. You know, David K. Johnston, who covered Donald Trump for the Philadelphia Inquirer when he was there covering the casinos and all, when Donald first announced, wrote a piece for the National Memo, 21 Questions to Ask Donald Trump. Nobody's asked them. You can go back and
read all
these.
But do you think that this will all come out, though? But do you think this all will come out if he should, God help us, get the nomination
from the Hillary campaign or the Bernie campaign?
Yeah. You don't.
Why haven't they done it yet? Why hasn't the opposition research, you know, so the Republican establishment says, we want to get rid of Donald Trump. Why aren't they using it? I mean,
they're so afraid of him, which is, that's also interesting. It's starting to change a little bit now with Cruz. And, you know, they're so tentative because they're afraid that he's going to come after them and then they're going to take a hit, which has seemed to have worked so far. I don't know if it has legs for the whole time, because eventually these candidates are going to have to fall by the wayside. We just don't know when it's going to happen. Clearly, the mainstream Republican establishment, if there is such a thing left, doesn't want Donald Trump. So I'm wondering if people are trying to be strategic about when they do their quote-unquote document dump on him, because nothing seems to stick. I mean, do you think anything can stick? That's why I'm saying your film, as fascinating as it is, will it change minds? And I'm saying maybe it can, because a few people have said, yeah, you're right, this guy is not presidential timbers, you would say.
Well, we'd love to...
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry. We'd love to have more people see it. And we think, you know, when we first released it, it got a huge amount of attention. And then it seemed like there were maybe even games being played to stop it moving through the internet. So who knows? You know, we keep pushing it out there.
Have you heard anything from the Trump campaign? Have you heard anything
from
Trump?
No, they'd be too smart to say anything to us, because it would bring too much. Everybody would want to watch the film.
Exactly, right. Well, I hope people do watch it, because I think it's fascinating. It's well done. You can see it on the internet. I mean, just go watch it. The trailer's out. You go to it's Trump the Movie. Is that it? TrumpTheMovie.com.
TrumpTheMovie.com. Yes.
You can see the trailer. You can see the actual film, and it's fascinating. Look at it, at this guy and his evolution. He hasn't really changed much. Although the hair has gotten crazier. You'll admit that hair has really gotten out of control.
The comb over has gotten bigger. Well, you know, as we get older, we lose. Men in particular lose some of their hair, so he's got more to cover.
It's gotten yellower, too. I don't know.
That probably comes in a bottle.
Yeah, I guess. Well, they should tone it down a little bit. But that's the least of his worries and our worries. So what do you think? Do you think he really has a shot at getting this nomination, or are you thinking he's going to eventually fall by the wayside somehow?
I'm hoping he falls by the wayside, but, you know, I'm beginning to wonder what the game is. You know, some people said maybe he's a stalking horse for Hillary, because nobody could possibly, you know, in a million years in the end vote for Donald, so they'll all end up voting for Hillary. But who really knows? You know, it's basically up in the air. You just never know what games are out there and what the powers that be would like to see happen.
Yeah, also some of the theory that he really is saying these outrageous things because he doesn't want to win, but he keeps it doesn't matter, because whatever he says, he still gets more support, which is, I wonder if it shocks him. But I think his ego is so big that now he's believing his own hype, which is also scary.
Oh, I think he's having the greatest time of his life, and I think he really believes he can win. I mean, you know, the greatest salespeople in the world believe what they're saying.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. It's kind of scary, but it's a fascinating movie, and I think people should watch it because I think it's fascinating. It's fun on one hand, this whole topic of Donald Trump as president, but it's very scary as we get closer to the reality of it actually happening. So, Libby Handros, I thank you for joining us, and I thank you for your mission to get this movie out. I hope folks see it. We'll keep posting the link. It's TrumpTheMovie.com. You can see the trailer, and you can see the actual film. I wish you the best, Libby. Thank you so much
for joining us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. Libby Handros.
Bye.
It is the Amy Berkowitz Show. 347-857-4505 to join the conversation. And, of course, on the Twitter feed at AB Writes.
Some years ago, we made a documentary about Donald Trump. It wasn't flattering. Trump screamed and shouted and threatened lawsuits, and it was never broadcast. But now we think it's time for you to see it, because the new Trump and the old Trump are the same Trump.
My new game is Trump, the game.
Trump, the game.
Trump is running for president. Everyone knows Trump is a buffoon.
Everybody takes me very seriously.
But few realize how dangerous a buffoon he really is.
Trump hired more than 200 immigrants with no working papers.
They were stripping hot electrical wires with their bare hands.
But now, a long-suppressed investigative documentary is about to emerge.
Well, there's a lot of coverage tonight.
Just in time to drag the skeletons from Donald's many, many closets.
Another close advisor was Trump's lawyer, the notorious Roy Cohn.
From mob connections,
in the dead man's pocket, a wad of cash, and a high-rated comp card for the Trump Taj Mahal.
To family connections.
He put his arm around Donald's father, and he said to me, whatever Mr. Trump wants in this town, he gets.
From his successes,
he's a crap game operator. Most of his money comes from crap games in Jersey.
To his failures,
Trump had built his empire on other people's money. Now he couldn't pay it back.
The more things change for Donald, the more they stay the same.
Trump doesn't have as much money as he says he has.
When we started asking questions about his wealth, Trump gave us this letter from his accounting firm.
So a large accounting firm and my accountants have been working for months, and they put together a statement. I'm really rich.
He forgot to mention that most of the money was tied up in credit lines from his bank.
I have assets.
You hear a figure quoted by Donald.
$9,240,000,000.
You divide by two, then divide by four, you're probably closer to the real answer.
Things got so bad, Trump tried to slip his private plane out of its hangar without paying the storage fee. The state police were called.
This country needs major
surgery.
Are
you the surgeon?
I think I do a fantastic job.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.
The molding, the base molding, is the cheapest. It's what housing projects get.
Who is the real Donald Trump?
This man walks in, you're all evicted, I'm Donald Trump, get out of our building.
I've seen people treated horribly, including his own family, by him.
And what on earth did he do to piss off Superman?
It's the American dream gone berserk. If your dreams step on the lives of ordinary people and ruin the quality of their life and their neighborhood, you have to be stopped.
Learn the truth about Lex Luthor. I mean, Donald Trump.
Really mine, you know?
He wants the world that what he wants primarily is Manhattan to be turned into a Donald Trump mecca for the super rich. No room for anyone else.
If you want to see into Trump's future, study his past.
Would you think you got a future for Donald?
Watch Trump. What's the deal?
There's something screwy around here.
Of all of the people that I used to know, who never adjusted great big world. I see them lurking in bookstores, working for the public radio. Yeah, the beat is around, stack on their back, moving careful and slow. Money doesn't matter. Hear what I say.
To me like I was crazy.
boss, same as the old boss. Meet the new Trump, same as the old Trump. The Who, the classic, won't get fooled again. Let's hope not. On the Amy Beth Berkowitz Show, Randy Newman with Mark Knopfler, It's the Money That Matters. And the trailer from the fascinating 25-year-old documentary, Oh So Relevant Today, Trump, What's the Deal? Thanks again to Libby Handros, the producer of that film. You got to see this movie. We've been posting it all over the place. Go to the website. It's trumpthemovie.com. See the trailer. See the entire film. And see for yourself what America will get in the bargain should Trump, perish the thought, get elected. Reach out via Twitter, AB Wright's phone line, 347-857-4505. Folks already chiming in via Twitter. Dondi says, oh, yeah, fascinating topic. Just watched the trailer. We'll see the movie tonight. Thank you. Yeah, all right, there you go. Morgan says, you're right, it's Emperor's New Clothes. Why are people bamboozled? They want to hear. They're hearing what they want to hear, I guess. Giving them, he is that consummate huckster. But we have Lindy, who says, you guys are cranks. Trump all the way. He'll make America great again. Just you watch. Ooh, I hope I don't have to. Speaking of watching, though, we'll talk about the debate in a moment, too. But, you know, again, mainstream media and cable television in particular, MSNBC, of all outlets, who I know they're desperate for ratings. It's a liberal outlet, supposedly. But every time the guy burps, they have to go to him in his rallies. It is astonishing to me. You don't have to give him unfiltered airtime. You just don't have to. They're starting to back off, in CNN at least. They'll say things like, well, if he's having a rally, if anything major breaks, we'll go to it. You know, if he says something crazy, they'll go to it. I mean, fine, have reporters there. Record it. Take note of it. Report after it. If there's some highlights that are fascinating, show them, but you don't have to show the entire rally. For goodness sakes, do you really think MSNBC's core audience wants to see it? Because if I'm on MSNBC and they go to him live, I click off immediately. So you're losing viewership. I don't think you're gaining viewership. That's my take. I don't know about you. What do you think? AB writes on the Twitter feed, the phone line 347-857-4505. As we said last night, the debate seemed to be low on substance, big on criticisms, sparring between the candidates, as well as taking on President Obama and Hillary Clinton. No surprise there. Of course, the bromance between Cruz and Trump over and out, we knew that was coming. The question of Cruz and his eligibility to be president, it's not a small thing if it really isn't going to hold. I think it's a crazy rule, frankly. I always did. If you're a citizen, you're a citizen. If you happen to be born abroad but your parents are American citizens, you should be a natural American citizen. Doesn't make sense to me. So I think it should go that way. But in the Constitution, and if you are a strict constitutionalist, and what makes it so delicious is that Ted Cruz is, and so are all the folks that follow him and are so concerned about the Second Amendment and other things. I mean, it can't be pick and choose then. You have to go by every single thing. It's like the people who are strict Bibleists. I mean, you know, everything is open for interpretation, or is it? And there is a line that says people who are born abroad to American parents will be citizens, not natural-born citizens, which is what it says to be a qualification to be president. In fact, that was amended in 1790 to include the phrase natural-born citizens. They amended it yet again in 1795 and took that out. So, personally, I think it's crazy. I don't know if it will hold water. I suspect, I mean, with John McCain, they got around it. Of course, they had a declaration in the Senate passed, where Mitch McConnell and company say they're not going to go to the mat for Ted Cruz because they don't like him. Nobody likes Ted Cruz. It's interesting to see how this one does unfold. And Donald Trump, I mean, what is refreshing about Donald Trump in terms of his unfiltered speech where he'll just say whatever he wants to say, but he did say, you know, of course, I didn't make a big deal out of it before because he wasn't doing well, but now he is, so I am. I still think I can win fair and square, though, he adds, which is quite fascinating. So we'll see how that all plays out and will it play out. In time for the election. You know, maybe Cruz and Trump will both fall by the wayside, and maybe Jeb Bush will come back. He's having a resurgence, not so much in the debate, although I guess he did okay. I don't know. I didn't really see too much of him on the debate. I saw him for a few minutes. But he got an endorsement from the great Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He endorsed Jeb Bush. Of course, Donald Trump went immediately to his Twitter feed and said, Jeb Bush got an endorsement from Lindsey Graham. Jeb is at zero. Lindsey Graham got out at zero. Good luck. No surprise there. Again, the entertainment value is there, but think about the severity of our decisions when it comes to who is actually going to be the president of the country. big, big stuff. A.B. writes on the Twitter feed. Reach out on the phone line, too, if you're listening live on Friday, January 15th. It's 347-857-4505. So who's got the big mo on the Democratic side? It looks like it's not Hillary. It's Bernie Sanders. You feeling the burn? I mean, Hillary, I don't know if she can seal the deal, although I saw her on both Jimmy Fallon last night and Rachel Maddow, and when she's on those one-to-ones, she has a warmth and a comfort and a confidence that she exudes that you might not see so much on the campaign trail. So maybe she needs to do more of those kind of interviews. On substance, you know, she has it all over. But again, she's dogged by the Clinton legacy. She's dogged by her own email scandals and all these investigations. And it's already tiresome, and the campaign is not in full throttle for the general election. I can just feel it. But can Bernie, a self-proclaimed socialist, seal the deal and really win? Can you see a Bernie versus Trump election? Wow. But anyway, speaking of Bernie and Trump, remember when Trump first came out, he was using a particular song without any permission from Neil Young, a Canadian, by the way. Yeah, Keep on Rockin' in the Free World. Well, he had to stop, cease and desist using that song, but I don't know if he's using it or not, but Neil Young bequeathed the song to the Sanders campaign. So we'll keep on rocking in the free world. You tell us what you're thinking. Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505.
Thank you. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Fiorina theme song, bequeathed to her by Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin before her. She's a must to avoid. Herman's Hermits on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Speaking of theme songs, Ben Carson's theme song from The Vines, Beatles tune, and I'm Only Sleeping, although he seemed rather alert last night, didn't he? He must have taken some happy pills, wide awake pills. And I have to say, when you see Ben Carson, you realize how spot on Jay Farrow's impression on Saturday Night Live is. He's got the hand movements down. It's great. A pair of songs, different songs entirely, same title, Rescue Me from All the Sideline Gibberish. Amy Helm, that's Levon's Little Girl and the Handsome Strangers, a newer song, and A Blast from the Past from the Archives. Fontella Bass, circa 65 for Ollie, a forgotten 45. And that rock anthem, Keep on Rockin' in the Free World, as Canadians infuse the U.S. presidential race. On the left, Neil Young bequeathing that tune to the Sanders campaign. And on the right, Ted Cruz, Canadian-born, trying to make a go of it on the U.S. presidential trail. Will he succeed? We'll see. Twitter feed a buzz at A.B. Wright's Priest. Is that the name? Is it Reince Priebus? Priest says, come on, ladies, quit smoking what you're smoking. Trump ruled the night. He'll rule the country. Yeah, well, rule, that's the question, like as in dictatorship. Paulo says, a little substance and the entertainment value is wearing thin. And Phil says, funniest line of the night, Chris Christie calling President Obama a petulant child. Yeah, well, that's projection. He's showing his petulant side, even though, I got to say, Chris Christie does have some mad debating and speaking skills, although Donald Trump stole his bombacity. And yeah, unfortunately, Governor, Bridgegate looms large. He's not officially implicated yet, but those trials are going to start soon with his underlings, his staffers, so watch out for that. And his ratings are very low in his own state. I think they're in the 20s or maybe low 30s, his approval rating. So something's amiss as he's on the campaign trail. And growing from 4% to maybe 6% in the New Hampshire poll, because he got that big endorsement from the Manchester Union leader, hasn't seemed to help him, or at least so far. Again, the polls are snapshots on that day, and we don't know what will happen until the day of the caucus and primary, respectively. February 1st, just around the corner. I know you're in. I'm kind of in. I think it's going to be exciting to watch. We'll see how it all plays out. And very strange. Did you see Carly Fiorina last night? I know she was on the undercard debate. I did not watch anything on the undercard debate. But I saw her come on Chris Matthews' Hardball show on MSNBC right after the debate. And I guess she had made some kind of a comment during the undercard that at least she likes to hang around her husband, meaning Hillary doesn't. And he pressed her on this about Hillary's marriage to Bill Clinton, and it was a very awkward exchange, and I think he pressed too much. It was not his finest moment. But Carly Fiorina, I don't understand. How acerbic can she get and still land that Fox TV show? We'll see. Or maybe she wants to be VP. I don't know if she has a shot at it. I know they were trying to make nice with Nikki Haley. Of course, there was a little schism between Nikki Haley and Donald Trump when she gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union and kind of called out with, not by name, but, you know, talking about the siren of the angriest voices. And then she admitted later on various interviews, that she was referring to Donald Trump, among others, she added. And Donald Trump, of course, you know, his quick trigger Twitter fingers was going crazy and calling her horrible on immigration, et cetera. Had Ann Coulter come out and call her a bimbo and thinks that Trump should deport her, all this kind of nonsense. It was ridiculous. But at the debate, he kind of made nice with her and said that they're friends, and yes, he is angry, and he has every right to be angry, and he's going to bring honor back to the country and all that nonsense. So it's funny how all these things happen, the machinations. So Nikki's still in contention, and maybe she will be Donald Trump's running mate. Who the heck knows? It is the end of the Third Glee Show. Please reach out via Twitter, AV Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. Should you be listening live on Friday, January 15th, the phone line only open while we have a live show, as you know, but Twitter feed is always there, 24/7, and we do respond. I don't respond 24/7 because I'm not Donald Trump, but I do respond as much as I can off the air, as you well know, those who are involved. Let's do our Inspiration Action Challenge, then we'll talk Oscars. The success stories keep pouring in. We're still catching up from the holiday break mailbag, and I'm so gratified when folks are saying this thing is working for you. Leonora is back. She was doing this for a while, right? Was she doing, I think she was working on poetry and a novel. She says she's got enough poems together. She's submitting them and got one in an online journal. So congratulations, Leonora. She says, I am sparked and raring to go. Well, terrific. Hey, if the Inspiration Action Challenge has worked for you, please let us know. I'd love to give you a shout-out. You can do so via the website, amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com. You can also contact me there should you need some cajoling, and we'll give you the primer on the challenge and push you in the right direction with the plan that will work just for you. First conversation is always on me. Again, it's Amy Beth Arkawy, ARKAWY, easy access via the Twitter feed, and we'll get back to you in a week or so. And the basic thing for the challenge, as most folks know, and I hate to spend too much time on it because it just bogs down in terms of the time I'd like to do one-on-one with you, but just the basics, you know, get yourself the old-fashioned pen and paper journal, and each week, every single day of the first couple of weeks, you want to write down one thing that brings you joy, one thing that inspires you, and one thing that you, for which you are grateful. And then after you do it for about a week or so, you can weave in an act of kindness that you have bestowed upon someone or someone has bestowed upon you. Do that a couple of times a week. And just keep doing that into a rhythm or into a 3-4 week pattern. And then start thinking about your goals and write down 3 goals that you'd like to achieve within a, say, 6 to maybe 18 month period. And then we'll start talking about action plans for each one of those goals. So start doing that, but the first step is to just get that journal, and every single day, and I don't care what time you do it, but just open that journal and just write down one thing that brings you joy, one thing that brings you, one thing that inspires you, and one thing for which you're grateful. See how it feels, because what really the objective is to just loosen you up and make you more accessible to the creative force that's already within you, and sort of, you know, give you a creative spark. You'll see. It does work for a lot of people. I can't promise it'll work for you. It's not a panacea for everything, and it's not the only thing. You have to take some strong action and work behind it. But it'll start opening you up, especially if you've been blocked for a while or you haven't approached your creativity in a long time or you're kind of feeling down in the dumps. It can maybe raise you up and make you feel better. Try it. See if it works for you, and please let us know if it does. It is the end of the Third Glee Show. You know, there's the Oscar nominations came out yesterday, and no real big surprises, I don't think. Except people were talking again about how this is the whitest Oscars since last year. Remember they had a discussion about how many people of color and films of color were excluded. And that maybe is true. And, I, you know, I'm so over award shows, I have to say. I wasn't really into the Golden Globes. There weren't too many surprises there either, I don't think. Part of the award show mystique has gone by the wayside because you don't really have to watch it in real time to get it, because you can even watch, just have your Twitter feed on and see people tweet the, you know, the awards and any highlights, anything funny that happens, anything dramatic, any wonderful speech, certainly the fashions, they replay it over and over ad nauseum on the internet and all the cable TV shows, so you don't really have to watch it in real time. And Chris Rock, who bombed the first time he was on several years ago, was hosting again. I wish him the best, but it's kind of tiresome, so I'll be watching Downton Abbey. Maybe I'll flick in and out, but that's as far as the award shows, the show goes. As far as the awards themselves, I mean, I don't know. It's so much congratulatory nonsense on the one hand. On the other hand, films that don't get, and actors who don't get that much recognition can get a big boost sometimes, and that's a good thing. So the rundown here, the Best Picture nominees are, and there are only 8 of them, I think, this year. They can go up to 10, right? The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. So a lot of people were surprised that Star Wars wasn't in the mix, I guess, because it had done so well, and the big blockbusters of late have gotten a nod. Carol, I thought, would be under The Danish Girl. So interesting. Some of the things weren't there. No women were nominated for director again. That's no surprise. Actors, Bryan Cranston for Trumbo, which I'm surprised didn't get a Best Picture nod. I don't know. I'm not a Mad Max fan, but Mad Max got a Best Picture nod and not Trumbo. Great movie. Matt Damon for The Martian. Leonardo DiCaprio, The Revenant. Michael Fassbender for Steve Jobs. And Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl. I guess DiCaprio, this could be his year. That's what they're all saying. Another movie that doesn't quite speak to me. I haven't seen it, but it just doesn't seem like it's my type of film. But Trumbo is great. I really enjoyed that movie. And I'm surprised in the... Let's go down the list here for the best actress. Carol, Kate Blanchett for Carol. Brie Larson, who won the Golden Globe for Room. Jennifer Lawrence also won the Golden Globe in the comedy category for Joy. Charlotte Rampling, never nominated. A little-known movie, 45 years. This is where this nomination might help the movie and give her some a bit of a jolt. Actress that has been around for a long time that hasn't gotten the accolades maybe she deserves. Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn. A supporting actor, Christian Bale for The Big Short, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo, Spotlight, Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone, he won the Golden Globe, for Creed, reprising his Rocky role. Interesting. He may be the sentimental favorite there. Best supporting actress, Jennifer Jason Leigh for The Hateful Eight, Rooney Mara, for Carol, Rachel McAdams for Spotlight, Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl, and Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs. Surprised, Helen Mirren shut out. She was phenomenal as Hedda Hopper in Trumbo. Trumbo kind of getting the short shrift. So there you go. Those are some of the, you can see the, we'll post it for you, the whole list online. But it's interesting, and the debates and the campaigning will start, because you talk about political campaigns. They campaigned for this darn thing. Remember Melissa Leo years ago when she won? And she took out an ad in Variety. They do that all the time, the studios, the actors themselves. It's kind of competitive, kind of fun, kind of crazy, if you think about it. But they did say during the whole Powerball brouhaha and excitement that you had a better chance of winning an Oscar than winning the Powerball. Well, I ain't winning either. What's your take? Any surprises for you? Reach out via Twitter, AB Writes. It is the interesting show.
Attention getter.
From the Beatles, a Forgotten 45 for Cal and for Hope. Thanks for checking a timely Forgotten 45, as they say. You might win an Oscar. You can never tell, yeah. A.B. writes on the Twitter feed talking about the Oscar nominations. Hinton says, hey, what's the story? No black actors again nominated, not even Will Smith. What gives? Yeah, Will Smith for Concussion. I'm a little surprised. He has been nominated a few times. So I don't really know that it's a racist situation. I mean, I don't know how you apply affirmative action, so to speak, to anything in the art world, movies, entertainment, etc. But certainly opportunity is key, as Viola Davis said at the Emmy Awards, right? I mean, the opportunities have to be there in order for people to get those chances. And there should be more roles. But there were some good roles, of course, but there are other people that get snubbed too, with nothing to do with race. Phelps points out Johnny Depp as Whitey Bulger. He got shut out, yeah. And what about, says Maggie, Jane Fonda, Youth. Yeah, she got nominated for Golden Globe, shut out here too. It happens. It just happens. I don't know how it happens, why it happens. It's all a mystery to me. I know we know that the Academy is older and gets older and whiter every year, it seems. But, again, who's in, who's out, who gets to vote, it's all of those things. It's interesting and fascinating and kind of a bit like the man behind the curtain. But we still watch. We still talk about it. It's important. But, you know, the other thing to talk about, if you can't win an Oscar, maybe you can win a Razzie. Yeah, the Razzies were announced, too, the other day, and Worst Picture nominations. I have to say I haven't seen any of these. Fantastic Four. Well, I have seen parts of 50 Shades of Grey because it's on TV a lot, on cable. Jupiter Ascending. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, also a cable favorite. And Pixels, Worst Picture, what do you think will win? Worst Actor, Johnny Depp. Well, he got a nomination for a Razzie for Mordecai. Jamie Dolan for 50 Shades of Grey. Kevin James, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Adam Sandler, he is the Razzie favorite and has the most Razzies to his name for The Cobbler. And Pixels, he got two nods for two movies. And Channing Tatum for Jupiter Ascending. Worst Actress, Katherine Heigl, Home Sweet Hell. Dakota Johnson, 50 Shades of Grey. Mila Kunis for Jupiter Ascending. Jennifer Lopez for The Boy Next Door. And Gwyneth Paltrow for Mordecai. Now, it's interesting, in the supporting category, you have people that are actually nominated for Oscars as well. Best Supporting Actor, Chevy Chase for Hot Tub Time Machine 2 and Vacation. Josh Gad for Pixels and The Wedding Ringer. See, if you get nominated for two films, you really should just take it home automatically, right? Kevin James for Pixels, so he's got a Best Supporting Actor and Best Actor nomination in the Razzies. Jason Lee for Alvin and the Chipmunks Road Trip. And Eddie Redmayne, nominated for Jupiter Ascending as Best Supporting Actor in the Razzies and Best Actor for The Danish Girl at the Oscars. What are the odds of taking home both? Not great, I guess. Worst Supporting Actress, Kelly Kiyoko for Alvin and the Chipmunks for Road Trip and The Wedding Ringer. There you got a two-timer there. Rooney Mara for Pan, and she was nominated for the Best Supporting Actress in the Oscars. Again, does she have a shot at both? Michelle Monaghan for Pixels. Julianne Moore, who won the Oscar last year for Bill Alice, is nominated for Worst Supporting Actress for The Razzies, Seventh Son, and Amanda Seyfried for Love, The Coopers, and Pan. A lot of these people doubling up. Interesting. Haven't seen a lot of those Razzie films, thank goodness. Have you? Talk Razzies, talk Oscars, 347-857-4505. We're almost on the wind down, and the Twitter feed at AB Writes. But time for another Forgotten 45. This one for Ellis. Oh, this is a good one from 73. Into the weekend. Rock on. With David Essex. I'm Amy Beth Arquisha. Yeah.
JV, for Bernice, for Vera, and for Beulah, for Effie, for Oliver, for Santa May, gonna play for Bulldog. Let's go, man.
You guys hear anything good on the radio lately?
Been away, haven't seen you in a while. How've you been? Have you changed your style and do you think? that we've grown up differently.
Don't seem the same.
Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys. There's only you and me, and we just disagree. About you, have you got a place to stay? Why should I care when I'm just trying to get along? We were friends, but now it's the end of our love song. So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye.
Forgotten 45 for Sammy. Thanks for checking in on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. A new guy with an old school sound, J.D. McPherson. Let the good times roll. Love that song. And Rock On from David Essex. Hey, if you've got an oldie you want to hear you haven't heard in a while, we'll try to dig it up for you in the archives. Send a message over at the Twitter feed at AB Wright, hashtag Forgotten 45, or visit us at the website, amybetharkowy.com. Also the place to go if you want to be a guest on the show. We're always looking for compelling storytellers, have guest suggestions or talk topics. You can also give us the big story hashtag at the Twitter feed at AB Wright, or tell us at the website. Hey, while you're at the website, don't forget to peruse my stories, The Eliza Gordon Mysteries, both Killing Time and Dead Silent, available for ebook and paperback from Cozy Cat Press. And guess what? Book 3 coming this spring. So dive in now and you'll all be caught up in time. I appreciate all the support. Thank you so much for that as well. So thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth working hard, and MLA headquarters for keeping the show moving. Special thanks to Libby Handros, producer of that newly dug up old documentary on Donald Trump, Trump, What's the Deal? It's worth seeing, I'll tell you. I will post it again. The website is trumpthemovie.com, and we will give you all the details on Twitter and Facebook as well. Fascinating and revelatory in oh so many ways as we continue our trek through this treacherous 2016 campaign, indeed. If you have, I hope you have a great weekend, and if you do have Monday off for Martin Luther King Day, think of it as a day of service and think about reflecting how far we've come, how long we still have to go as all the rhetoric heats up on the political scene, for sure. So in the meantime, drive safe. Play nice and dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. We'll leave you one of our producer Trudy Hart's favorite tunes. See you later, alligator. Take care.
See you later, alligator.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator. Don't you know you're sent for something?
pretty daddy. You know my love is just for you. She said, I'm sorry, pretty daddy. You know my love is just for you. Won't you say that you'll forgive me and say your love for me is true? I said, oh, wait a minute, daddy.
Tale of two students, both working adults. He commutes to college before and after work, carrying all the baggage that goes with it. She goes to Independence University, and Independence University goes with her. It's online, so all she needs is a connection, and anywhere becomes her campus. He's getting a degree, but he's also getting majorly stressed out. She chose Independence University online for a better life offline. Visit independence.edu or call 800-370-1077 today.